Well, good morning, and welcome to worship at Hope United Methodist Church, wherever you may be, whether you're watching the stream live or whether you're watching it later, whether you're on a phone or a computer, we're glad to have you with us. Some happy news, and the reason why I'm standing here instead of Pastor Andrew is the arrival of Arlo Rocky Scott, who was born on Monday, March 22nd at 12:11 p.m., and he weighed in at 7 pounds and 2 ounces. We're so happy for Lindsay, for Pastor Andrew, and for Nora, and their whole extended family as they welcome a new member. We look forward to a time when we can meet him as well, and I think we have a picture here that we can show. All right. And I think I just heard the whole community go, aww. So we are gradually and carefully easing back into in-person worship a little at a time. And during the month of April, we will be raising the limit of worshipers to 40, and we'll be extending in-person worship to every Sunday in April rather than every other Sunday. Will still require that you make a reservation. So if you would like to reserve a place for in-person worship, please call the office during office hours. And that's Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday from 9 to 3. You've already seen from the video that we just showed what an impact our special offerings can have on the community. And this year, our Easter offering is designated towards the purchase of washers and dryers for a community resource room that the Bedford School System offers for students and their families who are in need. If you'd like to help with this, please put Easter offering on the envelope or the memo line. And in addition, if you'd like to help replenish our Love Fund, which is our pastor's discretionary fund for emergency needs, you may indicate that on your donation as well. Since this is Holy Week, we'll be having online Maundy Thursday and Good Friday services. They'll both be at 7 p.m., and they'll both be conducted jointly by Hope and by South Haven United Church of Christ, as they were last year. So you'll be able to navigate them through our usual Facebook and website and Twitter and YouTube and all those avenues. But in addition to the streaming portions, the Maundy Thursday service will be followed by some Zoom discussion. So look for an email this afternoon to register for the Zoom portion, and we hope that you do for Thursday's service. Throughout April and the first week of May, during Pastor Andrew's family leave, our guest pastor will be the Reverend Bob Kuntz, and we look forward to welcoming him beginning next week on Easter. And finally, don't forget that we have a virtual coffee hour after worship today at 11:45. So you may have seen the link for that in an email that was sent out, and you can also find that link on our website on the live streaming page. So that's been a lot of announcements, so now let us take a breath to pause and reflect as we listen to our prelude. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. The story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem tells us that after his celebrated arrival, he went into the temple and looked around at everything. As we gather here for worship today, may it be with a sense that Jesus has walked in here too and is looking around. May our eyes be open to see him. May our hearts be ready to be seen by him. May our worship be worthy of his presence, and may we be transformed so that we see the world through his eyes. Amen. Please join together in singing our opening hymn, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. Together in our opening prayer. Generous God, in abundance you give us things both spiritual and physical. Help us to hold lightly the fading things of this earth and grasp tightly the lasting things of your kingdom, so that what we are and do and say may be our gifts to you through Christ, who beckons all to seek the things above, where he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us take a moment to silently reflect and pray, followed by prayerful music from Zach.
Lord, help us do today the things that matter and to do the best that we can with the time that we have. Fill us today with your kindness that we may affect others in ways that are pleasing to you. We're grateful for new life and ask that you bless little Arlo and the Scott family and bring strength and joy and wisdom to them as they again take on this important task of raising a child. We're thankful for things that bring us joy. Lord, we thank you for the many times you've given us help, listening when we called, even in our darkest moments, when all seemed to be lost, there you were at our side. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, that they may receive your comfort and that they may know of your constant presence. Have mercy on us, God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out our sins. For you are merciful, Lord. You lift up all who are falling and raise up all who are bowed down. Bring comfort and healing to those dealing with difficult health problems and to those who care for them. The eyes of all look hopefully to you. Bless our church family that we may truly be your instrument in our community. Keep those who serve us in your care. Protect them and lift them, mind and spirit, for the important work that they face every day. We need you always, Lord. Help us to have the courage to do your tasks and not be burdened by pride. Hear our prayers, both spoken and unspoken. And we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now, let us sing our hymn, Standing on the Promises, number 374.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. I read the scripture earlier this week that Bill is going to talk on a little while from now, and it talks about visitors. And I got to thinking about what I do when I have special company coming to my house. And I bet there's things that you do to prepare also. You might get out some disinfectant wipes. We see these a lot now. You're probably wiping off the counters. Perhaps you have some dusting to do of your furniture. Maybe you get the vacuum out and run it. Make sure everything's perfect for your special guest. My guess is you might even prepare a special meal. And when your guest arrives, you welcome him or her into your home. Our scripture today is also about welcoming someone. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and people lined the roads to welcome and praise him. Now, it kind of made me think of sometimes when cities have a sports team that wins a national championship. We don't see that too often here, but a few years ago we did with the Cavaliers, and they have a parade to welcome them back home. And they're in cars with the tops down, and they go down the middle of the street, and all the fans are lined along the side, and they're yelling and throwing confetti and saying congratulations. Reminded me of that. But Jesus didn't come in a convertible, and there wasn't any confetti. He rode in on a small donkey, and people waved branches, kind of like this palm branch. Instead of confetti, they waved the palm branches. And they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessings to the King of Israel. You see, people thought that Jesus would be a great national leader who would restore their nation. They were looking for God to send a king to rule the country. And when they realized that Jesus was not going to fulfill their hopes, they turned on him later in the week. Jesus wasn't the king they wanted, so they changed their loyalties. You see, they didn't realize something that you and I do. Jesus is a king. He's the King of Kings. He's the King of Love, and he is the King of Forgiveness. And no matter what the circumstances, we can stay loyal to Jesus because he will stay loyal to you. He loves us no matter what we are, and he is always who we need him to be. Let's say a short prayer. Loving Father, thank you for sending us Jesus, who loves us as we are and is always who we need him to be in any circumstances. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. Our first lesson comes from the 11th chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 11. When Jesus and his followers approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Jesus gave two disciples a task, saying to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you'll find tied up there a colt that no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' its master needs it, and he will send it right back." They went and found a colt tied to a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some people standing around said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them just what Jesus said, and they left them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes upon it, and he sat on it. Many people spread out their clothes on the road, while others spread branches cut from the fields. Those in front of him and those following were shouting, "Hosanna, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. After he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with the 12. May God add a blessing to his reading.
Our second lesson is taken from John chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. They shouted, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Don't be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." The disciples didn't understand these things at first. After he was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Well, it's been quite a year, hasn't it? Just over a year ago, on March 11th, 2020, the World Health Organization declared a pandemic. And what was I doing right around this critical moment in modern history? I was grilling bratwurst. I remember standing at my grill, enjoying a mild spring day, listening to the birds, and thinking that this really doesn't feel much like a major global catastrophe. In fact, my time as the district disaster response coordinator, during that time, we were trained and we gave training on disaster response. And although a pandemic was on the list of possible scenarios to plan for, it was usually cast aside for tornadoes or floods. Well, I can now safely say that it really does, in fact, feel very much more like a pandemic now than it did on that bratwurst day. It's been a struggle, hasn't it? We've given up so much. Maybe we've lost friends or family to COVID. We've lost togetherness and hugs and noisy, happy gatherings. We've had to adapt to changes in graduations and weddings and funerals. We've lost jobs and other forms of livelihood. Last week, Pastor Andrew said that the last year has felt in a way like Lent. Like Lent. And it has. Did we ever think that our most dangerous adventure for the week would be buying groceries or picking up a prescription? And now, as vaccines emerge, we can kind of manage to cautiously hope to ourselves that there is some promise that we just might, maybe, be at the beginning of the end of this. Is there some promise that things may actually be turning a corner? And more importantly, what has this long road taught us? When our kids were growing up, as kids do, they would occasionally do something wrong that would have some bad consequence that would end up coming back to them. And rather than yell, I sometimes found that the best approach was to look them in the eye and ask, "Did we learn anything?" I think that's a question we all need to ask ourselves now. What did we learn? And will we be better for it? What will we be like when it all ends and things return at least to a new normal? It might be helpful to look at what the pandemic has taught us. First, we've learned to pause. To pause. In all of our busyness, activities, meetings, events, shopping, training, rehearsing, driving, and wishing we could get some time to just stop and collect a thought, there we were. And here we are. For the first time, I noticed one particular part of today's first lesson scripture, and it was also mentioned in the call to worship. It was the very last verse, and it seems like kind of a throwaway line after the whole palm procession into Jerusalem. It says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. After he looked around at everything, because it was already late in the evening, he returned to Bethany with the 12. Imagine the day that he had just had and the week that he knew was ahead. And yet, at this moment in time, he stopped, took some time to just have a look around, examine everything, and then call it a night. If it hasn't been already, maybe this pandemic is or could be our looking around time, looking inside us, looking at those around us who have needs, looking at who we might become after this ends. Secondly, we've learned not only to appreciate what we used to have, but to appreciate what we have now and who we have now, who we still have, and what we still have. Some of us have had to adjust to what I would call forced togetherness. We've hopefully learned how to be more forgiving, more tolerant, and more understanding, most of the time anyway, right, Amy? We've learned to use other parts of our homes that may not have been used much before to get some space or to give some space. On the other hand, many others have had to adjust to forced aloneness, taking to social media, phone calls, neighborhood walks, or visits on porches or through glass doors to get by, appreciating any kind of human contact. Thirdly, we've tried new things and adapted to changes we would have never thought possible, even a year ago. Think about that. We've learned what Zoom is and have used it for lots of things. We've used curbside pickup, Amazon deliveries for almost anything, and live streaming. We've gotten outdoors and may have even had the time to resume or discover hobbies or interests. Looking back after this pandemic ends officially, I think that we'll see that even along with the undeniable suffering and hardship that this world has endured, that even in a pandemic, there was the promise that we could emerge better and stronger and more compassionate. I hope that we do anyway. So today we gather, even if online, for Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, that conflicting time between welcoming and celebrating Christ and knowing that it is the beginning of the end of his time to walk on the earth in human form. What promise could there possibly be at the end of that road of suffering? In my preparation for this morning, I learned that the Palm Sunday story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is actually one of just a few stories that occurs in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was important to the people then, just as it has been important to Christians throughout history. He rode in on a donkey, a symbol of peace and humility, to fulfill prophecy. People spread their cloaks and palm branches, which they would have done as an act of deep respect to honor royalty. Their cries of Hosanna, which I always thought meant something like hooray or hallelujah, actually translate more to something like save now or save us, we pray. They were looking for a Messiah or a Savior, but the salvation they were asking for was political, not spiritual. They welcomed him as someone who would lead them in revolt against Rome. When they said Hosanna in the highest, little did they know what that would actually mean for all of humanity. They didn't know the end game, as we might say today, and the promise that it holds for us. The people would have shown respect for God by offering a sacrifice of a lamb at Passover time, as was done back when the Jewish people were freed from 400 years of slavery to Pharaoh. A perfect, unblemished lamb had to be selected, set aside, and killed to spare the people. Flocks of lambs would have been brought from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and they would have been taken to the pool of Bethesda, where Jesus had earlier healed people, to be washed and then selected. Jesus would have arrived in Jerusalem, this time would have arrived in Jerusalem, at the time of lamb selection. Do you see the parallel there? Jesus was that perfect lamb, that sacrifice beyond all sacrifices, the capital S sacrifice, the sacrifice that allows you and me to place our sins at the foot of the cross and actually be forgiven. You may have noticed that each Sunday during Lent this year, we've sung the hymn, Standing on the Promises. It was written by Russell Kelso Carter way back in 1886. He was, among other things, an educator, a rancher, an athlete, a preacher, and a physician. Pretty amazing to me. He grew up surrounded by a Christian family and accepted Christ at age 15. In his words, though, he lived the up-and-down experience so familiar to the average church member and was continually slipping and falling. I can relate to that. Carter became very ill due to heart issues, and as he pondered his end, he felt reluctant to ask God for strength unless he could fully use his strength for God. He did ask, and he did get much better, felt a quietness, and rediscovered the Bible as he never had done before. That particular hymn was written after he endured this hardship. And during this time in Lent, as we look toward the week ahead and what it held for Jesus, the humiliation, the pain, the betrayal and denial of people he walked with every day, we might be embarrassed to picture ourselves in that crowd, yelling Hosanna one day and crucify him just a few days later. This pandemic pause has given the opportunity, probably for most of us, to assess our own situation, our own life. We may be dredging up bad memories or regrets. We may be pondering in a real way our own mortality, that inevitability that awaits us in whatever form it may take, COVID or not. We may have felt or still be feeling afraid. But realize that through it all, God is there and has always been there, promising us more and backing that promise up with real sacrifice. The good news is that it didn't end on that Friday, but because of that, we have hope every single day. Whether we first opened our eyes to the world last Monday like Arlo, or whether we're simply grateful to open our eyes each morning. I'll finish with an excerpt from our most recent Bible study, taken from Max Lucado in his book, He Chose the Nails, which really resonated with the group last Thursday. especially as we look at our fears in this Lenten pandemic time. He says, do yourself a favor. Take your anxious moments to the cross. Leave them there with your bad moments and your mad moments. And may I suggest one more, your final moments. Barring the return of Christ first, you and I will have one, a final moment, a final breath, a final widening of the eyes and beating of the heart. In a split second, you'll leave what you know and enter what you don't. That's what bothers us. Death is the great unknown. We're always a bit skittish about the unknown. About this time, someone is thinking, you know, Max, if I leave all those moments at the cross, I won't have any moments left, but good ones. Well, what do you know? I guess you won't. Amen. The hymn that we'll be singing next, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, it was written by Isaac Watts. In fact, it was one of about 750 that he wrote, including another familiar one, Joy to the World. Another hymn composer familiar to Methodists is Charles Wesley, who referred to When I Survey the Wondrous Cross by saying that he would rather have written it than any of his own. It was inspired by Galatians 6:14. And I checked several translations of this from the online Bible Gateway. And the version that spoke the clearest to me was called the Passion Translation, which says, may my only boast be found in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him I have been crucified to this natural realm, and the natural realm is dead to me and no longer dominates my life. So let us sing.
Come now to our time of offering. Giving can take many different forms, whether it is mailing in our offering envelopes, serving a soup sans meal, sorting clothes at our clothes closet, or praying for one another. Now, as we stand to sing the doxology, we offer all these gifts and more to be blessed. Join in our unison prayer. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives. As you go through this holy week, may you reflect on the meaningful events of Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, and the crucifixion, all leading to the victory found in an empty tomb and our risen Christ. Amen. Please join in singing our benediction response.
Of human need, and our love.